Our reading this morning comes from John chapter 5 and verses 1 through to 15. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralysed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath, and so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you all, and great to dig into God's Word once again, and I'd encourage you to keep that passage open in front of you as we look at it together now. Now, friends, it really struck me as I was preparing this last week. It struck me how Jesus cares for the individual. I mean, let's remember for a moment who he is. He is the glorious Son of God. He is the powerful creator of the universe. He is the one who came to redeem the whole earth from darkness and from sin. But yet time and time again in these opening chapters of John's Gospel, we've seen him reaching out with kindness and concern to ordinary people, to men, women and children no different to ourselves. At the start, we saw his interactions with John the Baptist. Then there was the calling of his first followers, Andrew and Peter and Philip and Nathaniel, and the author, John himself. We witnessed him helping Mary, his own mother, at the wedding at Cana. And then there was Nicodemus the Pharisee, and the Samaritan woman by the well, and the royal official with his dying son. And doesn't that all remind us that even though Jesus is the true light who gives light to everyone, even though he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that the way that he brings that hope and salvation is through a deeply personal and intimate relationship with individuals just like you and just like me. Perhaps you have experienced that for yourself, the profound love and care of Jesus as he has reached into your life with compassion and forgiveness and has filled you with his comfort and his peace and with his joy. But perhaps you haven't had that experience. Perhaps you're yet to truly know him, but yet you realize deep within that you need him. And you long to have a real and fulfilling relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in our passage today, we find Jesus stepping into the life of yet another individual, reaching out yet again in love and in empathy, So let's see what the Lord wants to teach us through these words today. John chapter 5 verse 1 tells us that sometime later, we don't know how long, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. We don't know which. But on this occasion, he went there to a very particular spot. Verse 2, now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. And this particular place where he went was well known for a very particular reason. Verse 3, here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. And Jesus came to this place to see a very particular person. Verse 5, one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. Isn't that astonishing? Jesus travelled to the huge city of Jerusalem at a time when it was just crawling with crowds of pilgrims. But yet he went to an area that would have been far from popular and far from pleasant. An unofficial gathering place for the down and out of society, for diseased and tortured souls who had nowhere else to go. And he went there to see one of the worst of them, a man who had been an invalid for almost four decades. Now, please don't think of him as a man with a nice electric wheelchair and all the gadgets and technology that we have today. Please don't think of him as benefiting from the NDIS or being treated as a valued member of society. No, my friends, in that culture, he could do nothing but lay and beg and hope for sympathy. But in that culture, he would also have been seen as unclean, as an outcast, cursed because of his own sin. But yet of all the people in Jerusalem, this is the one Jesus came to see. And he asks him a very pertinent question. Verse 6. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" And isn't that just so important for us to think about today? For are we really any different to this paralyzed man? My friends, we're broken people living in a broken world. We battle with broken bodies and broken minds, broken plans and broken dreams, broken relationships and broken hearts. I'm not saying there's never any joy or blessing in life, for we have so much to be thankful for. And maybe you're here today and you're experiencing a time of blessing in your life right now. But yet we all know how fleeting it all is, and the trouble and tragedy are just around the corner. We so quickly discover that life can be so hard, and life is so terribly brief, for all too soon we are facing the reality of our own mortality. But yet Jesus comes to each and every one of us, and he asks, "Do you want to get well?" So how does this man respond? Verse 7. "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." What on earth is he talking about? Well, friends, we have a hint, but it's a little complex, so let me explain. You see, the more observant among us may have noticed that earlier in the passage, verse 4 is actually missing. And that's because at the time when verse numbers were inserted, they actually thought there were some more sentences at this point. Now, since then, it's been discovered that the earliest and the best manuscripts don't have these extra words, but that somewhere along the line, a scribe who was trying to be helpful added these words in to better explain what's going on. So even though these extra words are not part of the original text, they do, however, help us to understand. And if you look in your Bible, you'll probably find them in a footnote at the bottom of the page. So what do they say? Regarding the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed, they say, "And they waited for the moving of the waters." From time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir up the waters. The first one into the pool after each such disturbance would be cured of whatever disease they had. Do you see what's going on? When Jesus asked this man if he wanted to get well, his response was that yes, he did. But yet he was seeking to achieve that wellness by clinging to superstition. The idea had arisen that when the waters in the pool were stirred up, probably as the result of a natural spring, that it was actually God offering healing, but offering it only to the one who managed to get there first. And so this poor man had been hoping that one day that might be him. Maybe he'd been clinging to that hope for the whole 38 years. But even this crazy idea that he clung to, he knew was totally hopeless. For he knew full well that he had no one to help him. And so he would never be able to win that pitiful and tragic race. This man desperately wanted to be well, but yet he was seeking his wellness in completely the wrong place. But Jesus wasn't perturbed. Despite the invalid's misguided ideas, he had compassion on him. Verse 8, then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. And thus, my friends, we see demonstrated all over again the awesome power of the Son of God. The fact that the man had been an invalid for 38 long years emphasizes the extent of his illness. But the fact that he could now instantly get up on his feet and even pick up his own mat and carry it away emphasizes the extent of his cure. This was no trick. This was no gradual rehabilitation, but this was a complete restoration that only Jesus could provide. But at this point, I want to ask you a key question. Was the man made well? In one sense, he obviously was. He'd been given the very thing that he'd been longing for, to walk again. Even though he'd sought the cure in the wrong place, Jesus showed him that the real cure could be found in him. But in another, far more significant sense, he'd not been made well at all. For even though his legs had been healed, his soul was still as sick as it had ever been. And how do we know this? Well, friends, if you've been following our sermon series, then you'll probably realize that faith and believing in Jesus are a constant theme throughout John's gospel. Chapter 1, verse 7, John the Baptist came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all might believe. Verse 12, yet to all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Chapter 2, verse 11, what Jesus did here in Cana and in Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Verse 22, then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. Chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Verse 18, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Verse 36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. Chapter 4, verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him. Verse 41, because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." And verse 53, so the royal official and his whole household believed. But did you notice that in our passage today, belief in Jesus is not mentioned, not even once. Even though this man experienced the power of Jesus firsthand, even though he was the personal subject of a miraculous sign, we are never told that he believed. And this is reinforced in verse 13, isn't it, where we're told that despite the amazing thing that Jesus has done, this man did not even know his name. He had no idea who he was. And so while it's true that this man wanted to get well, his idea of wellness was far too limited. He just wanted a better life here on earth. But he had no interest in being saved from his sin, in a relationship with God, in the gift of eternal life. But I ask you this morning, what good is it to walk again if you're still walking in sin? What good is it to have a better earthly life if you don't have true and everlasting life? What good is it to be cured if you are still condemned? And so this man tragically took hold of the miraculous sign, but yet he never grasped what it was pointing to. And so he wasn't really made well, for it was not well with his soul. But this sad lack of belief in Jesus leads to something even sadder in the verses that follow. For at the end of verse 9, there's a little detail mentioned there that may seem insignificant to us, but it was of huge significance to the people of that day. For it says, the day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And that cue marks the entrance of the religious authorities. For we're then told of their response to what had taken place. So the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, praise the Lord for his might and for his mercy, for you were an invalid and now you walk again. What an astonishing turn of events. What an amazing sign this is. Please tell us who did this so we too can get well. Please tell us so we can put our faith in him. Is that what they said? Not even close. Listen to verse 10. So the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. What a completely ludicrous thing to say. They had just witnessed a divine miracle and all they could think about was their own petty little laws. You see, my friends, the Lord had most certainly given the fourth commandment to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, to rest from daily labor and to focus on worshiping him. But it was the Jewish leaders who had taken God's good command and they had turned it into their own set of small-minded rules and regulations. Among other things, they said that on the Sabbath, a person must not weave or separate two threads, tie or loosen a knot, write or erase two letters, light or put out a fire, or carry any object from one domain to another. And that's where they found their accusation against this man. For having been healed of his paralysis, he now committed in their eyes the grievous act of picking up his mat and taking it home. It beggars belief, doesn't it, that these people could so blatantly miss the power of God as they focused on their own trivial rules. But yet the reason they did that was it because it was in those rabbinic laws that they sought their own well-being. For they believed that by keeping their self-made regulations that they were making themselves righteous. And they believed that by imposing those requirements on other people that they were earning the favor of God. And so the healed invalid replied to them, the man who made me well, he said to me, pick up your mat and walk. He said, don't blame me, blame that man who cured me. And so they asked him, who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk? Who is the one who did this terrible thing? But the man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. What a ridiculous scenario. But doesn't it just highlight that just like the crippled man, these Jewish leaders were also seeking their wellness in completely the wrong place? For while he was seeking it in worthless superstition, they were seeking it in legalistic self-righteousness. And as a result, they all missed the genuine wellness that can only come by faith in Jesus Christ. But they're not the only ones, are they? I mean, every single person in this world is trying to achieve their own well-being by some means or another. Some seek it in wealth and material possessions and in the comfort of an undisturbed existence. Some seek it in power and achievement, in an exciting social life or an adored family, in their own good looks or in health and fitness. Some turn to drugs and alcohol, some to adventure and experiences, still others to some kind of worldly enlightenment. But at the end of the day, my friends, nothing, absolutely nothing in this world will truly make us well. Nothing will deeply satisfy, for we will still be out of sync with our Creator. We will still be lost in our own sinfulness. And we will still be unable to find the life that we were made for and the assurance of eternal security. But that brings us to the last two verses of our text. And I just want to say that what we find here in these last two verses is actually the most awesome part of the whole story. For in verse 14 it says, later Jesus found him. That is the man who had been healed. He found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. Do you know why that's so awesome? My friends, it's awesome because Jesus, in his love and mercy, was giving this man another chance. He'd sought him out at the pool of Bethesda. But after being cured, he had failed to believe. But now Jesus seeks him out again. When he finds him, he reminds the man of his physical healing. But he also reminds him that he needs something much greater. For if he continues living in unrepented sin, continues living in unbelief, then something far worse lay in store. And what could be worse than 38 years as a cripple? Jesus, of course, is speaking of eternal judgment and condemnation. And so in an amazing act of grace and love, Jesus returns to this man a second time and he urges him to repent and believe. And maybe that's what he did. For while we cannot know for sure what happened in the end, what we do know is that this man, who previously had no idea who had helped him, now knew the name of his Saviour. For the final verse says, the man went and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who made him well. But as we conclude, we need to return to the fundamental question. Do you want to get well? For while Jesus came to redeem this whole world, it's yet up to each and every one of us as individuals to respond to him in faith. For it's only in relationship with the Son of God that we can find forgiveness and reconciliation and everlasting life. And so I want to ask you this morning, do you want to get well? Perhaps like this invalid, you've only been looking for a worldly kind of wellness. You've only been looking for a healing that is physical and temporary. You just want to be happy and healthy and live a quiet and prosperous and self-indulgent life. Perhaps like these Jewish leaders, you want to be in control of your own destiny as you live by your own self-righteous standards. And perhaps like all of them, you haven't yet grasped that deeper wellness that only Jesus Christ can provide. But friends, I ask you this morning, what good would it do us to have treasures here on earth if we have no treasure in heaven? What good would it do us to be physically cured if our souls are still condemned? Perhaps you've realized this morning that you've been looking for your wellness and your satisfaction and your hope in completely the wrong place. But don't you long for so much more than that? In fact, maybe that's the very reason why you haven't yet experienced a personal and an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, because you're only really looking for trivial worldly blessings and you're ignoring the real reason why he came. But just as Jesus gave this crippled man another chance, so he does the very same for each one of us. For my friends, our Lord Jesus is full of grace and mercy, and his arms are always open wide. And so I want to urge you today, come to him. Come to him for the healing that you really need. Don't focus on the sign, but focus on the eternal salvation that it is pointing to. Don't be satisfied with the fleeting things of this world, but seek the heavenly treasures that only Jesus can give. My friends, come to him for ultimate wellness. Come to him that it may truly be well with your soul. Let's pray. Our great and loving triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we want to thank you this morning that you reach out to individuals, to ordinary people just like us. And Father, we thank you that you long to make us well. Lord, we confess that like this invalid in our passage today, that our desire for wellness is often far too small. We think if only we had this or if only we had that, then life would be sweet. But Lord, we forget that no amount of wealth and no amount of health or of anything else will do us one scrap of good if we do not have the salvation that you provide in Jesus Christ. So Lord, we pray, please help us to truly believe in Jesus, to know him as our Saviour, to know him as our Lord, to know him as our friend. Please help us to know that in him we have all that we need, regardless of what our earthly circumstances may be. Lord, please help us to seek our eternal well-being in him. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.